So the left is slowly but surely learning that their words of power no longer work. The black magic incantations don't have the effects that they used to. In fact, it turns out that it was all illusory. And if you just ignore it, it all goes away. Look at this. From The Guardian and David Renton. Lessons from an asylum hotel counter-protest. Calling our opponents fascist doesn't work. When anti-asylum demonstrations have so much support from the mainstream, a smarter, more tailored message is needed. Right, that's really interesting. Because this is a wonderful admission that it's not that you thought they were fascists. You just thought the word fascist had power and would shut people up and make them go on the defensive and say, oh, no, honestly, I'm not. Because for some reason you thought these people still wanted your approval. But that's not the case now, is it? Let's have a read. So he talks about how he helped organize, in fact, the Thistle City Barbican Hotel protest and counter-protest. On the other side of the road, 250 people are gathered to demand the hotel be closed. Speakers there called the refugees illegal invaders and parasites. Seeing and hearing our opponents, the anti-racists responded with a spontaneous chant. I am sure it's totally spontaneous. Nazi scum off our streets, which our side was able to sustain for more than an hour. I understand why, blah, blah, blah. But he says, but the chant didn't strike me as effective as when I heard it. And the more I've thought about it since, the more convinced I am that it's the wrong strategy. There were fascists present at the demonstration. One banner advertised a small hard-right group, but they were not the organisers. They hung back, mute, at the edge of the protest. So that's very interesting, isn't it? They know that the people they're calling fascists are not fascists. They use the word fascist as a magical, a magic power, a way of literally stigmatizing you and nothing else. They're not doing anything descriptive. They're doing something proscriptive. They're just saying, no, you are bad people, and we are going to call you bad people for daring to want the safety of your children to come before the human rights of a bunch of foreign men. Like, that is absolutely mad. But these people know what they're doing. And this article is just a wonderful admission of this. The crowd did chant in support of Tommy Robinson. The latter, I suspect, is probably the link that the organisations like Stand Up to Racism lean on when labelling the current anti-refugee movement as fascist. I mean, sure, but you've just admitted you call anyone who objects to you fascist. And you know he's not a fascist too, which he admits. Many of the protests, their spokesperson has said, are organised by known fascists and Hitler admirers. But Robinson, unlike the fascists of the 1970s, doesn't leaven his speeches with reworked passages from Mein Kampf. He isn't a Hitler admirer, nor is he perceived as such by the movement. He used to boast of having a Churchill quote tattooed on his arm. Incredible admission. The leftist has to be like, look, I know we've been doing this and calling everyone Nazi for a long time, but actually, Tommy Robinson is not a Nazi. He's an ardent supporter of Israel, and he doesn't ever voice support for Adolf Hitler, and he actually voices support for Winston Churchill, obviously, because he is a British patriot. So, again, the mask is well and truly off with this article. This article is an absolute gift for us. The strategy of labelling our enemies fascist depends on a context where the mainstream is willing to isolate and shame Nazis. Those are not the times we are living in, so a smarter, more tailored message is necessary. Right, that, again, incredible, right? So, things have got so bad that the liberal luxury of, as he says, isolating and shaming those people we call Nazis doesn't work, because the actual problem is far greater than the vanity of ideological impurity. Like the idea, oh, that guy's a Nazi. It's like, look, man, I don't give a shit about that guy. I give a shit. There's a bunch of foreign men I'm paying for to live in this hotel, and they're trying to rape children, right? That's what I care about. You caring about the ideological purity of this guy is just so far down my list of priorities. And he's been like, yeah, turns out that they're not going to do anything about the people we yell Nazi at anymore. That was always an option, was it? It was always an option. When a bunch of communists turn up and start calling you a Nazi, you can just ignore them and just let them chant for an hour, wear themselves out, and then carry on whatever you were doing, actually. It turns out that it's, again, according to this leftist who organises protests. He carries on. Take Robert Jemrick, the Shadow Lord Chancellor, who recently attended an anti-refugee protest in Epping. Farage hasn't done that, has he? anti-fascists released a photograph from the protest featuring Jenrick with Eddie Butler in the background. Butler is a former election candidate for the British National Party and was the guru behind its Rights for Whites campaign in the 1990s. What was most revealing about the incident is what came next. A close source to Jenrick said he did not know who Butler was. Jenrick kept the photographs of his time in Epping showing on his ex profile. He made it clear he wasn't embarrassed, and the story dissipated to nothing. Oh, can we just ignore them, can we? It turns out, actually, you can. If you're pictured in a crowd, because there is a, as he says, a legitimate a group of people who are obviously not actual far-right Nazi blah blah blahs, and those people just happen to turn up, and one of them's like on the edge of the picture with you, you don't have to react to it. You can just say, I don't care. I don't care. I'm here to support the people of Epping. I'm not here to uphold your dogma about ideological purity and who is allowed to associate. I don't care. Jenrick showed he wasn't embarrassed, and the story dissipated to nothing. Just ignore them. Don't even respond to it. Don't even react to it. They're like, oh, that's a Nazi. I don't care, man. Just get these fucking immigrants out of my country. They broke in. They disproportionately committing sex offences, and I'm being forced to pay for the privilege. This is unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. I don't know why you're talking about Nazis and fascists when you're not talking about this. Like, this is a genuine danger to people. The people you're yelling Nazi and fascist at are just basically fat LARPers most of the time. Who cares? Like, if he's actually committed a crime, go and tell the police. Otherwise, get out of my face, because I'm interested in dealing with this. If the movement was perceived as fascist, as in the protest movement, by Jenrick or the other conservative reform politicians who have associated with it, or by the Labour ministers who have conceded the right's main demands and agreed to close refugee hotels, then it would not be as confident and unrepentant as it is. Again, we know that we are not fascists. We know that we are the concerned parents and locals and people who just happen to pay taxes of this country. We are the patriots of this country. We are the people who are actually the backbone of this. Like, I just came home and I've got a bloody letter from the tax man. He's like, guess how much you have to fork over? And I'm just, oh, Carl, 45 ands. I know where the money's going. You know what I mean? And it's, I don't care if you call me a goddamn fascist. I don't care if you think I'm far right. I don't care. I know I'm not, and I know I'm right. This is the thing. I am absolutely unrepentant on this, as is everyone else, and rightfully so. And behind the politicians who have flattered the street movement are a much larger group who share its insistence on describing migration in negative terms, as in, that's two-thirds of the country. More than now, actually. Probably nearer three-quarters of the country who's sick of migration. Keir Starmer tweeted more than a dozen times in August about migration, because when nearly three-quarters of the country are like, this is the problem, as the Prime Minister and government, who relies on democracy to make the country, to attain power in the first place, you kind of have to be responsive to that. I'm sorry to tell you, you communist subversive. Every one of his messages has presented it as problematic, illegal, or the work of criminal gang smugglers. Yep. In the weeks since the Barbican protest, the anti-refugee movement has kept up its momentum. Brilliant. Calling them Nazis, even when they were fascist at the present at the edges of their event. And again, I want to keep hammering this point home. They can differentiate. It's not that they're stupid. They're evil. That's literally what he's telling us. No, we're not stupid. We were just being cruel to you the whole time. We were using this word of power against you as a cudgel in order to just silence you, in order to smack down your legitimate concerns and try and turn polite society against you. But I'm sorry, polite society is on our side now because the problems are just far too self-evident. You've lost. But he says, yeah, so calling them Nazis has done little to undermine them. They don't believe they are fascists. They don't have organized fascists leading their circles. The term seems to them exaggerated, laughable. Yes. And it always has, actually. Going back to like the first protest that we did in like 2017, 2018. It was laughable then, it's laughable now. He says, you may say I'm expecting too much of one term, even if the fascist label had worked, gotten under our opponent's skin. There's no way we'd know it was working. But he carries on and points out, well, actually, yeah, it did. When we deal with the far right now, we are facing a movement that is pushing forward a group of female leaders that feels different from 5 years ago, let alone 50 years. In Islington, one of the speeches came from a woman described as running a local nursery. It was read out on her behalf. Again, These are the backbone of the country. These are the regular, normal people who you think are essentially apolitical dummies. Well, it turns out they're not. It turns out they can see the world around them getting worse, and they can see the reason why, and they're absolutely convinced that this shouldn't be this way, and they are right, and you are on the wrong side of history on this one, frankly, if we're going to use those sorts of terms. The contemporary far right is focused on pushing a single narrative about refugees. It's all based on the same logic, that the people in the hotel are the single men, foreigners, and both squads are likely to be sexual predators. Well, that's only because of the number of them that have been charged. This argument wins supporters. Again, it's only because of the number of them that have been charged. And it shields them from accusations that they're extremists. Oh yes, I'm sure that the lady running a nursery in Islington really is an extremist, actually. I'm sure she's actually secretly an absolute extremist. You just can't seem to prove it. You just can't seem to get around it. The logic of the argument is racist. It relies on the assumption that because they're migrants or asylum seekers or not white, and with no other supportive evidence, well, there is, but you don't want to talk about it, they must be more prone to sexual violence than the men who already live here. Well, I'm sorry, but we actually can look at the sexual violence rates of the nationalities of the men who have come here, and then we can look at sexual violence rates in the countries that they've come from, and we can see that they're just not the same. People in Britain, the men of Britain, the actual British men, are far less prone to this, are far less inclined to this, and there are cultural reasons that we can explain the differences. But you don't care. Just calling it racist is ridiculous, because no one's going to be persuaded by that. But everyone knows that they have very different cultures that, frankly, don't have the level of respect for women that English culture does. And so he goes on and says, look, the simplest one-line refutation of it is to look at the men who were arrested for offences in the various race riots that followed events in Southport. Of these men, a staggering 40% had been reported to the police for domestic violence. What do you think the rates of domestic violence are for the illegal migrants who come over? Like, the countries they come from. What do you think the rates of domestic violence are? I imagine they're pretty high. But look at what he's doing here. Again, it's not, you are wrong. I mean, he's literally not saying they're wrong. He's saying they're racist. He's saying, you haven't provided me the supporting evidence. Well, you could go and look it up. You can go and look up the supporting evidence, and you'd have to come to that conclusion. But instead of calling them wrong, he's calling them racist. And then he's saying, right, so what we need is a new slur. And what we're going to do is call them wife beaters, actually. We say, oh, look at these wife beaters. But the thing is, I mean, maybe, who knows? But on an individual level. But it doesn't matter because, again, this doesn't really have any teeth. It's like, oh, look, the wife beaters are here to protect children from being raped by migrants. It's like, yeah, are they wife beaters, though? Like, and when the old lady, the little ladies from Islington come out, and they're like, yeah, I really don't want these migrants predating on the children in my local nursery that I run. They're going to be like, oh, that's because you're a wife beater. Doesn't make sense, does it? The pink ladies, are they all wife beaters, are they? Again, no one thinks that this is going to work. This is ridiculous. But the point being, and he ends it, this rather than shouting Nazi is the argument most likely to undermine the anti-refugee protests. We need to be using it in our leaflets when we talk to people and in our protests. Right, I mean, okay, David, right? I know you shouldn't interrupt your enemy when you're making a mistake, but this is really dumb, right? Because when you call someone a Nazi or a fascist, it implies that it's a group that's constructed around a shared set of beliefs. It's an ideology, as in a Nazi or a fascist has an affirmative world that they want to bring into being. Someone who is a wife beater is someone who I assume has poor self-control when arguing with his wife. That's not an ideological position. That's not trying to bring a new world into being. That's not really political, actually. And that means wife beaters don't tend to congregate in organized groups for wife beating or something. Yeah, to bring about the wife beaters manifesto or anything like this. Like that's not how that works. So you have essentially chosen a poor category on this because no one's going to be persuaded by it. Like, everyone protesting the Epping Hotel and everywhere else. They're just wife beaters, bro. It's like, what? I mean, that just makes you sound stupid, frankly. It's quite ridiculous. And obviously, this is not going to persuade people. There is no organized cabal of wife beaters who want to drive the immigrants into the sea because they're worried about them raping their wives or their children. Like, that's really funny, and it's not going to be the case. But the good thing about this And what I love about this, he's a barrister, author of The New Authoritarians, Revenge on the Right. What I love about this is considered to be cutting-edge left-wing thought. And you realise, well, hang on, they're way behind us. Like, the right has done so much more actual good work thinking about how politics in Britain and the West more broadly works, and we're so much further ahead than them. Like, this is really funny, and it makes the right look like they're really smart. And you know why? Because they read Islander magazine. Now, I don't know how much longer Islander is going to be on sale for, but get your copy now, because, like I always have to tell people, it's not coming back once it's gone off sale. And every day I get people saying, bro, where can I get a copy of Islander 2? Where can I get Islander 3? It's like, you can't. They're gone. That was a moment in time. These are about the intellectual currents of the right across the Anglosphere more broadly, but just across the West generally, but also specifically what is happening in the case of immigrants and the illegals that we're just allowing into the country writ large. These things we have been thinking very, very carefully about, and that's what Islander is for, to keep us way ahead of these idiots.